Your Preparation Station with Donna Miller is on the air. Tune in for insight and encouragement for living a more sustainable, back-to-basics lifestyle. No matter where you've come from or what the future may hold, we hope each episode will encourage you with topics, guests, and stories that inspire your journey towards self-sufficiency. And now, the hostess of Your Preparation Station, Donna Miller.
I am so glad you've tuned in for another show. I'm your host, Donna Miller, and as I've been doing this show now for 4 years, this is the second time I've had the opportunity to interview author Jim Cobb. We're going to go all over the gamut. We're going to talk about his old books, his new books, his upcoming books, as well as dip into some things that are a little bit more personal about his life, so you can get to know the author. It's fits very well into my usual spiel of checking out who it is that you're allowing to speak into your life when it comes to preparedness. So I'm delighted today to be joined again by Jim Cobb. He has written several books, and I actually have two in my hand at the moment. I've done an interview with Jim before on his book, The Complete Book of Disaster Readiness. Well, it's The Prepper's Complete Book of Disaster Readiness. And then recently, another book that has come out that he's written called The Prepper's Long-Term Survival Guide. And I understand there is a third book that he hasn't even got a copy in his own hands because the publisher's too busy sending them out the door. And that's called Countdown to Preparedness. And we're going to discuss really that up-and-coming book and then, of course, the one that I've got in my hand, which is a Long-Term Survival Guide. And one of his first books out was called The Prepper's Home Defense. There's another book slated for October, which I believe is going to deal with urban emergency preparedness and survival. I don't know, the working title is out there somewhere, he says, but he's got a lot of great books out there, so he's just a wealth of information and is willing to share it with you. So if you're not familiar with Jim, I suggest that you go on Amazon, click some of the links in the show notes below, take a look at some of his books. I'll even link the other show that we did so that you can listen to that, so you can kind of get a little bit more familiar with him. This is part of my usual spiel, which is to get to know the person from whom you are taking advice. I sound like a creep, but it's true. You can say anything on the internet, pretend to be anybody on the internet. Anybody can do that. So do a little bit of background checking, a little bit of, you know, trying to figure out who you're listening to. Are they somebody that's just out to scare you so that they can sell you a wall of prepackaged food? Are they someone that lives this way? And, you know, you can't judge someone on their preps too much because everybody's on a certain level of their journey. But you can see whether or not they're really trying or if they're, you know, sitting in a nice little office of, you know, and picking up their Happy Meal on the way home and don't have any food. You can also pick that up. I think you guys are smart. I think people who listen to this show are brilliant, actually. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening. You'd be doing something else and you'd go, oh, this isn't important. So I think you're smart enough. So I just want to remind you to do that checking. And when it comes to a guest like Jim, he's done this for a long time. You can listen to what he has to say and see if it applies to your life and things that you can do in your preparedness. So I'm going to bring him in, and we're going to make sure we've got a good connection. Can you hear me good, Jim?
I am here. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Doing great.
Awesome.
I love that we're recording this earlier in the morning. Morning is definitely my more focused time, so maybe I won't go off on too many trails, but who knows? All right, we did the show on your other book, The Prepper's Complete Book of Disaster Readiness, and then really shortly after that show aired, because you warned me it was coming out, was your newer book, The Prepper's Long-Term Survival Guide. Tell everyone listening, what's the difference between these two books?
Well, think of it in terms of going to school. The Prepper's Complete Book of Disaster Readiness is prepping 101. That's the basics. If you know little to nothing about being prepared, mm-hmm. it's an excellent resource for getting you started, giving you the basic knowledge you need to keep going on your journey. Prepper's Long-Term Survival Guide is prepping 401. This is for the advanced students. This is for those who have been around a little bit. They're pretty well set in the event of a short-term emergency, you know, power outage, blizzard, something like that. This book is for if the lights are never coming back on.
Okay. It's long term. We got to live this way. This is not just a blip on the radar. This is thing. Everything's changed.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
It's much more of a self-reliance type of prepping rather than just stockpiling, you know, a couple of weeks worth of food and water. Here we're talking about, you know, the grocery stores are not coming back.
Mm-hmm.
The trucks are not running anymore. How are you going to live? How are you going to sustain yourself and your family, keep everybody fed, keep them safe?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a different mindset. It's a different perspective. And that's something that, you know, I've been around a long time. I've been doing this whole prepping thing since long before prepping was a word.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at all of the books and the magazines and all the websites and that have come out just in, say, the last 5 years, there's basically two main approaches in most of the survival literature out there. It's either a focus on wilderness survival, go run off, live off the land in the woods,
mm-hmm.
or it's a focus on short-term emergencies, which admittedly are far more common.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, every winter you hear about, you know, power outages and blizzards that shut down an entire city for a week at a time, things like that. And those are all, it's very valid information. It's necessary to learn these things about short-term prepping and about wilderness skills. I firmly believe every prepper should have a good handle on basic wilderness survival, how to build a shelter, how to make a fire, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But what seemed to be lacking was a good discussion on the extreme long-term scenarios. We talk about them a lot. You know, EMP is one of the big bugaboos, or, you know, massive civil unrest or economic collapse, things like that. We talk about these things all the time, but we don't really talk about what it's going to take to survive the aftermath of such an event. So,
yeah,
that's why I wrote it.
Yeah, I when I leafed through, it's funny because when I read through Complete Book of Disaster Readiness, it was my brain. We've been, and the word prepping is so weird because that's not what we called it 25 years ago, 27 years ago, when we started all this ourselves. We just went, let's live an alternative way because you never know when things are different. There was no. Just like you, there was no word to it back when we started doing it. We were just weird. And so when I read your the Prepper's Complete Book of Disaster Readiness, the first one we did the interview about, my brain goes in that long-term potential, you know. So this was, it was very foundational and very much good. This is was a good way to kind of build a very firm foundation for someone. But then you're right, when I've been going through, and I will admit I've not made it all the way through, but I've kind of compartmentalized read, you know, the stuff that goes, ew, I want to see what he says about this. When I'm going through the Prepper's Long-Term Survival Guide, it does. It goes into greater detail. It reads more like a step-by-step textbook, the way it, I don't mean that in boredom ways, but I mean in the ways that you can pick out an area where you know you might be lacking.
Right.
And you need that extra insight, the extra booster in a specific area, whereas, and it builds upon what you had in the previous book, you know, whether it's staying warm or keeping cool, depending upon the time of year or water, or, you know, it kind of breaks it down and then makes it a lot more approachable per segment. So I've enjoyed it very much. The segments, I'd say I'm two-thirds of the way through it, just if you start putting together all the segments that I've read, two-thirds of the way through it. I have a tendency to have six books going at once, so that's not really very good, but at least I can say I've, you know, been, had the chance to get through a good portion of it. I enjoy it very much, and I would encourage someone to pick it up. As a matter of fact, At the end of this show, we're going to give a code that you can get 10 extra points in this week's giveaway book bonanza to pick up more opportunities to hopefully win Jim's copy, a copy of Jim's long-term survival guide, Prepper's long-term survival guide. So now I have to ask you, because there are a lot of individual, they are very individualized. I mean, from things about clothing or food or security. What was your favorite chapter to write in this one?
Well, I can't say I had a favorite chapter, but my favorite aspect of the book was in the long-term survival guide, I dipped my toe into the pool of fiction for the first time in print. Each chapter is prefaced by a quote-unquote diary entry or journal entry written by somebody who is surviving the aftermath of a major disaster. And each of these entries zeroes in on the topic that's about to be discussed in the chapter. For example, in the chapter on water, the journal entry is about what they have done to try to increase their water supply and what they're doing for water in this little community that is surviving an EMP or whatever you want. I had a lot of fun with that. I've got a lot of positive feedback from people on it.
Yeah.
It was just something that I wanted to do something a little bit different with this book. You know, anytime, you know, when you've written multiple books, you want to do things that keep yourself interested as the writer. You don't want it to feel like homework. And so I was talking to my editor when we were, you know, planning this one, and I honestly, I can't remember if it was his idea originally or mine, but whoever brought it up first, we both at the same time, the light bulb went on and said, that's an awesome idea. Let's take it and run with it and see what happens. And like I said, I had a lot of fun with it. I've never written fiction like that before. You know, I'm an avid reader. I'm trust me, my home looks like a library. And I'd always wanted to try fiction, but never really got around to it. There were other things going on. So figured, well, this is a real good way to test it out and try it on and see how it fits. And I had a blast with it.
Yeah, I think it's, and I'm glad you actually said that that was one of your favorite components, because as I'm reading through it, that's one of the things that actually paints that picture for me, because I tend to, I know a lot of people, when they read these, they're putting themselves more, I think, in an imaginary scenario. It actually helps make this a more realistic possibility. How will I apply then the real factual knowledge that comes after? And if anyone's not gotten a copy of the book yet, or you want to try to get a hold of a copy, it's not like pages and pages of a story. It's about a page and a half maybe, of kind of setting the tone of why what's coming is important. And it really reads very interestingly. I mean, it's kind of piques your interest in, oh, really, I need to think about this. So I like that component too. I'm glad that you said that was one of your favorites.
Well, I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, I think that's, I tend to put myself in the situation as I read factual stuff, but it's nice to have someone else paint the picture first. So that I thought was really pretty good. We are going to need to take a quick break so that the sponsors can get a word in. And after we come back, I actually have a question about fiction that I did want to ask you. I thought about it before we even started the interview. And then there's some other things that you're busy with that people may or may not be aware of. We're going to talk about those too when we come right back.
You're not buying food storage containers, heirloom seeds, or water purifiers just for the fun of it. You're getting these things ready for your peace of mind. Visit the Always Ready store in Burnsville, North Carolina, where peace of mind is the end goal of preparedness. Find everything you need to get ready, from food dehydrators to whole grain wheat. Doesn't matter if you're a veteran or a novice to preparedness, the Always Ready store is there to help. Visit the store at West Main Street in Burnsville, North Carolina, located right next to Wishbone's restaurant. Or visit www.alwaysreadystore.com to shop securely online for anything you might need to keep you and your family prepared. Always Ready Store. Are you ready?
Hey, shh, I have a secret. Actually, I'm just checking to see if you're listening. There's a special code embedded in each episode of your preparation station that you can save at millersgrainhouse.com/store. If you go to millersgrainhouse.com/store and put in the code YPS, you can save 5% on any and every order from now on. We just want to be able to say thank you for listening and help you prepare. Shh, remember the secret code, YPS.
National Geographic traveled all the way to Boone, North Carolina to select Turtle Island Preserve, a nonprofit outdoor discovery center and Appalachian Heritage Farm, as one of the 100 most enriching destinations in North America. For over 26 years, families have gained enrichment while discovering nature, and more importantly, themselves. In a world where digital screens and push buttons have replaced actual contact with nature, Turtle Island's beautiful campus and knowledgeable staff reconnect its guests to their natural roots. While camping out, visitors learn vast amounts in our non-electric, wood-fired community. Hundreds of hands-on classes are offered, such as beekeeping, woodworking, primitive skills, and more, covering the gamut of early traditional living. A program for fathers and sons kicks off the summer season, followed by a 5-day workshop for adults with renowned naturalist and director Eustace Conway. Turtle Island is a great destination for scouts, school field trips, homeschool, and special interest groups. Please visit our website and then visit our paradise, turtleislandpreserve.org, or call 828-265-2267.
Your preparation station is on the air.
Welcome back. We are here with author Jim Cobb, and we've been talking about, it's not his newest released book, but it's one just before that, Prepper's Long-Term Survival Guide, how it differs from the previous book and how things kind of build. Each book that he tends to put out builds upon, you know, at least an aspect of the prior one, or gives you a deeper meaning and understanding to certain topics in preparedness. So I would encourage you to go pick up pretty much every book he's got, a copy of each. But the funny thing is, just before the break, Jim, you mentioned your favorite component was fiction, and I, because of reading the segments in your book, and I picked up on the stories beforehand, I was actually going to ask you what you thought about prepper fiction. I don't look at that you actually were going so much on a fiction writing spree as much as I'm going to lay the groundwork for the potentials of what lies ahead. What do you feel that plays in as far as a necessity for preparedness, fiction writing?
Well, I have to admit, I dearly love disaster fiction. I always have. It's always been a passion of mine. I can't say I've read everything out there, but I've read an awful lot of it. The very first book that I read that had anything to do with, you know, an apocalypse or anything like that was Empty World by John Christopher. And I read that in elementary school. And the gist of the book was there's this global pandemic of some sort that wipes out the vast majority of the population, and the story centers on this teenage boy in England who is trying to survive and find food and shelter and all this. And it's written for kids. I mean, it's a young adult book, and I think it was probably written in the early 70s. I reread it not too long ago, and it holds up fairly well for the most part. But that kind of, you know, got me started with the whole genre of, you know, post-apocalyptic or disaster fiction, whatever term you want to use. What I've found is you can learn an awful lot by reading stories. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times you learn things without realizing you're learning them, which is, you know, kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, it's a story, so you have to take at least some of it with a grain of salt. You know, it's like you could learn things by watching movies out of Hollywood, but you're probably not going to learn safe firearm handling and,
right.
you know, things like that. And it's the same with reading fiction. There are little tidbits here and there that you'll pick up, and you'll retain those, and you'll think about them later when you're trying to solve a problem. Well, you know, the guy in that story tried this, and maybe it'll work. Let's give it a shot. And, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but it gets the mind thinking about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's part of the whole problem-solving matrix. The downside is, in the last few years, disaster fiction has become extremely popular. Prepper fiction is, you know, off the charts with mm-hmm. readership. And because of that, you have just like any other, you know, I hate to use the word fad to describe something I'm involved in, but let's face it, it kind of is.
Yeah.
Anytime you have a new fad, you have an awful lot of people trying to capitalize on it and try to, you know, well, the money is there to be made if we do this, you know.
Yeah.
And because of that, then the overall quality of the genre tends to diminish. It becomes
mm-hmm.
diluted because you have people who, perhaps with the best of intentions, writing their stories and just throwing them out there on Amazon, and some of them are quite good.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an awful lot of them that it's like, did you pass middle school English? Did any other human being look at this before you uploaded it to Amazon?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not going to sit and bash, you know, any particular author or any particular book. If you explore disaster fiction enough, and by enough I mean more than about 12 minutes, you're going to come across really great stuff and really bad stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And a lot of it is, you know, so I have a big thing about if someone's going to write, even if it's just entertainment-wise, some type of fiction, if there's an attachment to any type of reality, they need to do their due diligence to find out the facts. You know,
absolutely.
Don't just throw it out there as a, you know, even especially if there's like a historical context or a technical context. Please do your due diligence if you're going to write fiction that attaches something in there to make sure it actually is true. I mean, you can't
right.
don't.
Well, even on top of that, there's just the technical part of writing in and of itself,
mm-hmm.
you know, have a handle on the basics of how to tell a story. I mean, you look at a movie that was popular when we were kids, Raiders of the Lost Ark, okay? Awesome movie. Everybody loved that movie. It doesn't have anything to do with real archaeology. We all know that.
Yeah.
Okay? But it's entertaining because it's a story that is well told.
Right.
Now, you look at some of the disaster fiction that's out there, there are excellent stories out there, excellent plots, you know, and twists and that, but the actual writing end of it, the communication part of it, is where it's lacking. You know,
mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many books I've read or tried to read where the author has this just brilliant idea for a story, and they lack the tools to communicate that story well. And because of that, as a reader, you're disengaged from it. All you're doing is focusing on the typos and the misspellings and, you know, things like that. You know, I'm a strong proponent of self-publishing. If you want to write a book and you can't find a publisher on your own, by all means, look into self-publishing.
Right.
It's a wonderful way to get your material out there. But if you're going to go that route, it's incumbent upon you to make sure that your product is the absolute best it can possibly be before you upload it and publish it. You need to have somebody who is competent to take a look at it. Mm-hmm. Somebody other than your mother, your spouse, your college roommate, who all are just going to blow sunshine up your butt. You want somebody that is going to tell you, you know what, this sucks. You
yeah.
need to rework this entire chapter. I can't make heads or tails of who's doing what. You've got a character who for the first 12 pages was a guy and now suddenly they're a woman and we're all lost.
Past tense, future
yeah.
tense. You know,
exactly.
What are we talking about here? Yeah.
Exactly.
You have to have somebody, especially I think it's, well, both in fiction and in fact, someone who doesn't know how you speak, someone who isn't in regular contact with you to read it as the objective reader and see if you're making any sense. You know, we have editing teams for the magazine and all the authors who write articles and send them in. We run it through editing and they read it as an objective. I'm not a prepper. I don't understand what anybody's talking about. You know, will this convey to the average reader, you know, who doesn't understand the medical terms, who doesn't understand the prepperology synonyms and acronyms and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And we have had the occasional author go, but no, it makes sense. No, it doesn't make sense to the layman. It's
exactly.
got to make sense to the person who's clueless.
One of the best compliments I ever have received on any of my books, I sent a copy of my first book to one of my high school English teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I can't call him a mentor because we lost contact immediately after I graduated because I couldn't wait to get the hell out of there. But over the years, you know, we kind of would touch base here and there. So I sent him a copy of the book, and I said, you know, what do you think? How did I do? And I got a message back from him a couple of months later, and he said, I saw no need to ever pick up my red pen. And that was the best compliment I could have ever received. Because he was one of the toughest teachers I had ever had in any schooling, college, high school, whatever. I was just over the moon. I thought that was the coolest thing.
I had an English teacher. The biggest joke with her in high school was you would have a paper. It would be just torn up from one side to the other. You get to the very back. Great job. C minus. You know, she'd be like, wonderful, you've got colorful language, da, da, da. You know, she'd be complimenting the snot out of you, and then C minus, what?
Yep.
You know,
yep.
And she was tough, but it was definitely, to this day, I can't write a text without proper capitalization, punctuation. I can, it's because of that woman, you know, so I know I kind of segued off into a really kind of funny area here because we got off topic, but I was very interested, especially since you alluded to the fiction being something of interest as a component in this last book. Do we think on the horizon there's a fiction story coming out of you?
Possibly.
Yeah.
I have had several readers of the long-term book contact me about those diary entries. You know, when are we going to see the book version?
Nice.
I don't know. You know, there are 24 hours in a day, and most of them are already pretty much spoken for.
Yeah, I definitely understand what you're talking about there. Just curious, though, because those are very interesting, almost as interesting as the content of the whole book. But they're definitely a good component to lay the groundwork for each individual chapter. So I was kind of curious if you might undertake something like that in the future, maybe after you get all your instructional books out of your system?
Hopefully. Yeah, I'd love to do it. It's just a matter of time and skill. You know,
retirement.
You know,
retirement might be it, huh?
Exactly.
For retirement, you can write your fiction book. So
there we go.
Sounds good. Well, we're going to take another quick break, and then we're going to come back and talk about a couple other components in your real life and give the code for people to get extra points on the entry for the giveaway. So we'll be right back.
Do you have your free digital subscription to Prepare Magazine yet? If not, then hurry over to preparemag.com and start getting each monthly issue sent directly to your inbox. It's easy. All you have to do is go to preparemag.com, enter your name and email address, and you're subscribed. Consider signing up for the premium membership for past issues and exclusive resources. You can even subscribe to the beautiful print version of Prepare Magazine. Visit preparemag.com and choose the option that's most valuable to you. Prepare Magazine, encouraging, empowering, and enriching your journey.
Real Food Living was started in the 1990s as a free resource for families to share information on food for health, herbal and natural treatments, homesteading, home education, independent product reviews, and much, much more. Since then, we've grown to reach families all over the world. www.realfoodliving.com and www.blog.realfoodliving.com are there for you to come and sit a while anytime you want. Listen to the radio shows for Get Real, Get Prepared, read our product reviews, frequently asked questions, how to get started, great articles, and great recipes. You can watch our videos and join in the giveaways. Also, connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Examiner.com, and in Prepare Magazine, as well as on the PRN Radio Network. Check out our books, Wrapping It Up, available at Amazon.com, and Naturally Healthy Cuisine, Real Food for Real Families, available at www.naturallyhealthy.org. You can drop us a line anytime at realfoodliving.com, your source for great information and reviews you can really use.
Your preparation station is on the air.
Welcome back. Before we get started, I want you to grab a pen, a paper, pencil, whatever. This is a secret code. You may not know this unless you've heard the show. So you're probably going to remember this anyway. I'm going to go ahead and give you the code for this week's giveaway, which is attached to the bottom of the show notes here. And it's going to be
YPSJIM. That's YPS for your preparation station and JIM for Jim Cobb, our guest. The code is YPSJIM. And so we're giving away a copy of the first book that I interviewed Jim on, which was The Prepper's Complete Guide of Disaster Readiness, and that's this week's giveaway. So this gives you 10 extra points towards possibly winning Jim's book. I highly recommend entering the giveaway so that you can try to get it.
So now that you've written that, we're going to probably reiterate it here before we close out the show. But I wanted to talk with you, Jim, about a couple of the other things in your real life that are going on. Your day job as a private investigator, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, when I found that out about you, which is so weird that I didn't know that last interview, but when I found that out about you, my brain automatically goes to that's got to give you kind of a different slant on your prepping. How do you see that that does that for you?
Well, I can't say that it gives me a different slant. If anything, it might give me a slightly different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I've been an investigator for about 20 years in one capacity or another. Over those couple of decades, I've worked just any kind of case you can imagine just about. I've done criminal defense, I've done witness interviews, missing persons, process service, you name it, I've probably done it at least once. Because of the nature of some of the cases I've worked over the years, for example, I spent several years volunteering with an organization to locate missing children. Mm-hmm. And when I say volunteer to locate missing children, I don't mean going out and putting up flyers. I mean we actively investigated the disappearance, we found the child, and assisted in the recovery of the child. Some of those cases did not end in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
And because of cases like that, for a while I volunteered time with an organization tracking down people that peddled kitty corn.
Mm-hmm.
Because of my exposure to those areas of the world, so to speak, or parts mm-hmm. of society, I might be in a position to recognize threat that might be overlooked by a layman.
Yeah.
I don't want it to sound like, I have ESP or, something like that, but I've seen things that I hope the majority of the population never has to deal with. And because of that, I might be a little more conscious of what's really out there.
Yeah.
What
That's
human
exactly
beings
what
are
I was
really
thinking.
Capable of.
Yeah.
And I like to think optimistically mm-hmm. that in the event of, say, a major society-ending event, the vast majority of the population would try to help rather than try to hinder or take advantage. I know the reality is not that. Mm-hmm. I've seen what reality brings with, there are segments of the population, and believe me, it is not at all limited to race, creed, color, orientation, mm-hmm. any of that. I mean, bad people are everywhere. It doesn't matter what they wear or what they look like. Bad is bad. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, there's an awful lot of them.
And they're not geographically segregated to where you can find.
No.
They're going to be in your small town, in your urban area.
Yep.
They're everywhere. And same with good people, yes, but you can't just make the blanket assessment that everyone that lives in the country is all, yay, we're all happy.
Right. Well, and you can't you can't assume just because somebody lives in a city, they're absolutely clueless and they're going to be bloodthirsty thugs.
Right.
They're everywhere. Mm-hmm. I have met just as many well-meaning, well-intentioned country folk as I have well-intentioned and well-meaning city folk.
Mm-hmm.
I have met just as many nasty, ignorant, violent rednecks as I have nasty, violent, ignorant city thugs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I think your quote unquote day job actually does give a certain additional insight. And I think that probably helped as you write to bring out some of that insight and put it in layman's terms from someone to look at something from a different perspective. So I was actually very interested when I read that that's what you did for, your day job. That to me, it coordinated with the ability to convey a lot of the stuff you do in your book the way you do.
Well, the other angle, and I don't want to get too far down the bunny trail here, but the other angle that it lends some assistance with is with people skills.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's an area that's severely lacking in a lot of survival literature. And when you go online and you visit the message boards and stuff like that, people skills are so critically important in a disaster, in any kind of a stressful situation, and they're all too often overlooked. I've had people ask me, over and over, what skill should I learn to be better prepared? And top of my list is people skills.
Mm-hmm.
Learn how to get along with other people. Learn how to talk to other people. And you're going to get a lot further that way.
Yeah, that's a very good point. You're not going to be the first one they want to get rid of because you're just so obnoxious and standard. I mean, they might see your worth a little bit better if you can stick around a little longer. So, yeah, definitely. Now, you have another component I think a lot of people are not aware of, and you have a consulting business.
I do.
Yeah, and the website for that is going to be linked below. If you're listening to the show on iTunes and not in front of the show page, Jim's website for his consulting business is disasterprepconsultants.com. All smushed together, disasterprepconsultant.com. Don't forget the S, so you can type that in and go check out the website. So tell everybody what it is you offer with that aspect of your life.
Well, I offer several different classes where we talk about a range of things from building survival kits to realistic bug out planning to basics for sheltering in place, things like that. I do guest speaking engagements at expos, conferences, private functions. I also do actual consulting, where if you are trying to be better prepared for XYZ, but you're not sure what to do, I can come in, sit down, and help the individual, help a private group, help a business formulate a disaster plan. And we're not into the conspiracy theory stuff. We're mm-hmm. not into the, everybody needs to have 85 firearms on their person at all times. everything is very common sense. Everything is very practical. Everything is very logical. The best part is we come to you. We don't have a classroom set up somewhere where you need to travel and bring your group to us and, you know, spend the night in a hotel, something like that. I come to you. We work out all the details where, you know, I show up, I do my dog and pony show, answer any question anybody in the room has for as long as it takes. They go back to work or go back to their daily lives, hopefully with a little more knowledge and be a little more prepared. And I hop on the white steed and ride off into the sunset to the next little town.
Do you have a distance limit, or is it anywhere that you'll go?
I will go just about anywhere, but we are based in southeastern, south central Wisconsin. So if you go on the website, there's a list of counties for Wisconsin and Illinois that we don't charge any type of a travel expense. I'll drive, do my deal, and leave. Anything outside of that range, then we need to talk about some type of a stipend for mileage or, you know, if it's across the country, a flight, hotel, things like that. One of the things that we really try to concentrate on is we're not dry. We're not boring. We will entertain the hell out of everybody in the room. And best of all, there is absolutely zero PowerPoint involved in any presentation we do.
That's great. I hate PowerPoint. I hate PowerPoint with a passion. Doing it as well as watching it, both sides. Can't stand it.
Yep.
That's awesome. The one thing is, I think I feel like you could come in with definite practical advice, especially if you're in someone's element and you get to see what they have to work with, whether it's their finances, their surroundings, their mindset, their energy level. That kind of gives you a whole different perspective of what to consult with versus...
Absolutely.
A book is great consultant work. It really is. And you have several of those. But you get a new perspective if you're standing in someone's environment and can say, okay, given your list of criteria, here's what I'd say you can do.
Exactly. Every plan needs to be custom. Every plan needs to be suited for the individual circumstances. And there's so many different components that come into play, like you mentioned, the finance, the family makeup. You know, a plan for a retired couple is going to be far different than a plan for two 30-year-old parents of small children.
Right.
You know, and the books are great, but they're very general. And just like you could go out and buy a pre-made survival kit to throw in your trunk, but you're in a much better position if you consider that just as a base, and you build off of that to suit your individual needs.
I want people to go and check out your consultant business because it is a little bit more in the tailor-making end of things. So I'm going to repeat this. You can go to disasterprepconsultants.com and check out what Jim has to offer because it is a little bit more tailor-made. You get the author of this book, and sorry, these books, but the book we're giving away to actually come and be at your chosen location. In our case, we have, you know, several different options, but you know, depending upon where you live, maybe it's the city, the country, and he can bring the history of what he's got as far as having lived this way and seeing things from a different perspective and having offered so many good books for people to prepare. He can come and stand in your environment and give you his expertise. So I think it would behoove everybody that has the thought of, hey, I need some help, to check out disasterprepconsultants.com, as well as pick up any copies of the books that he's previously written, the ones that are coming out soon, and then enter the giveaway. Let me give you the code again.
It's YPSJIM.
And all together, no spaces. You just put that in the widget of the giveaway that's linked below the show. How many more books do you have in the works for the future? I mean, you've got five now, one coming out in October.
Yes, and then I'm working on book number 6 as we speak, and my publisher and I have been talking about at least 2 more possibly for next year, and beyond that, we'll see.
Yeah. Now, as things unfold between society, media, politics, economic environment, world environment actually for that matter, you probably develop in your mind more books that might need to be published because things change.
They do. And not only do things change, but the coverage in survival literature changes over time. Used to be, you know, when I was a kid, about the only survival stuff you would ever find was just on wilderness survival, which was great. It's fun stuff. I love, you know, learning and practicing bushcraft, but there were very, very few books that really centered on what we today call prepping. One of the ones from back in the day was Life After Doomsday by Dr. Bruce Clayton. I can't tell you how many times I've read that book. I bought it with my own money when I was about 12 years old, saw it in the bookstore and saved up my nickels and dimes and went back and bought it. That was the very first survival manual I ever bought. And that was, you know, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
In the time since, you know, perspectives have changed, mindsets have changed, threats have changed. You know, back then, the big bugaboo was, you know, all-out nuclear war.
Yeah.
Now, we talk a lot more about terrorism and EMP, electromagnetic pulse, threats of pandemic, things along those lines, where, you know, 30 years ago, you wouldn't have really thought about a lot of that stuff.
No. You
know, EMP certainly was almost unheard of outside of a few small circles of people. So when I'm looking at future books, one of the things I do is, I'm a very avid reader. I couldn't tell you how many survival books I own. I buy an awful lot of them, and I review quite a few of them. But one of the things I do is, what's lacking? What has not been covered? What is not being talked about as of yet that I personally feel might be important? And then, you know, it just kind of snowballs from there.
I think that's actually someone who's very in tune with filling a need to well round out as many people as you can so that in the face of a disaster, in the face of whether it's economic or social or medical, hopefully the outcome is you have less people panicked, you know, if you can fill
Absolutely.
That need. What is basically your whole reason behind writing these books? I mean, what do you, you have it in you, obviously. What's your hope when someone picks them up?
I've long had a passion for teaching in one capacity or another. I'm one of those very weird, odd people. I just love public speaking. You know, the bigger the crowd, the better.
Yeah.
So writing the books is kind of my way of doing speaking engagements without having to leave my house. One of the things that I noticed before I started writing was there's an awful lot of bad information out there. There's an awful lot of, you know, somebody reads this little tidbit on a website somewhere, doesn't bother to fact check, and then they just puke it back out on their own website or in their own book. And it, one of the things I've really noticed over the last few years in particular is this whole prepping genre with writing, and we're talking books, we're talking websites, we're talking blogs, all of it, is very incestuous.
Yeah.
It really is. Everybody is leaning off of what everybody else is doing in this mad dash to be the top blog or the top site or to have the best book. And, you know, when we started our site, survivalweekly.com, our primary intention was to communicate factual information, reliable information, practical information, as opposed to so many of these other sites out there that are just full of crap.
Yeah.
You know?
Or at worst, they're plagiarizing somebody else's good stuff.
Oh, yeah, there is that, too. There
That's
is that
going
too.
On.
Yep. All the time.
They're just going and trolling over and picking up something from somebody else's site and pulling it over as if. We've had lots of things from the magazine get put out on different places, and you know, we have people having to contact them and cease and desist. You know, take that off. You didn't write that. It's verbatim what one of our authors wrote. You know, it's just it's crazy.
Part of that stems from with the advent of the internet and all of this information is out there ostensibly free for the taking. Many people don't realize that when they're copying and pasting from a website and slapping it onto theirs, that they're stealing your writing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't look at it like that, except if you're, well, you didn't get paid to do that. You didn't spend any money to do that, so I'm taking it because you didn't get paid either. Well, that's not the point.
No.
You know, if I grow a carrot in my garden and the seed was given to me for free and all I had to do was put it in the ground, and somebody comes along and takes that carrot away from me, they're stealing from me, whether
right.
I paid to have it there or not.
Yep.
It's the same thing.
Yep. Your comment about the whole prepper genre of the whole community, I guess, there is kind of a fight for the top and information stealing and incestual, you know, that's hilarious the way you put it, because it's something that's kind of stuck in my gut for a long time. That's probably why I opened the show by saying, please check out who you're taking advice from, because they could have stolen it 4 people ago, you know,
yep.
or worse, they're stealing it and then slapping on some type of panic button to get you to buy their product, or, you know, just, and they're not doing anything other than sitting behind their computer all day and really not doing any of this.
Right. Well, do you ever play telephone when you were a kid?
Heck yeah. Yeah.
That's exactly what it comes to with a lot of these websites, where they will glean onto this little tidbit and then they add their own spin, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
and then somebody else does that and they add their own spin, and 4 websites later, it is so far removed from what it was originally intended, and the original intention, the original information may have been correct. But by the time you get to the 5th or 8th or 12th website, it's been so changed and twisted that it's nowhere near what was originally intended.
Yep, yep. Now, here's something I'm going to bring up, because I read your Facebook post on this, and I found it hilarious. it's kind of a soapbox moment, but the difference between a bug-out bag and a get-home bag. And this is kind of going on, you know, how things get warped through reuse, recycle of information, and then kind of warped into, wait, there's a big difference between a bug-out bag and a get-home bag.
There is. And so many people, they don't realize it, because people are lazy. Just as a general rule, human beings are lazy creatures.
Yep.
And because of that, they tend to not communicate very well an awful lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, the term bug-out bag used to be a very specific type of kit. It had a very narrow window of definition. Well, over the years, people have been misusing the term so much that now, if you hear the words bug out bag, you think it means basically any kind of a survival kit, when that is not the case. I liken it to the use and abuse of the word literally in our society today. Literally has a very specific definition. And the vast majority of people using that word have no clue what it really means.
Yeah.
It's the same with bug out bags and get home bags. You know, I realize it's a nitpicky thing. It really is. In the grand scheme of things, it really is not a big deal. But as a writer and a speaker, I have a very sincere love of language,
mm-hmm.
and I try to be precise in the language I use when I'm communicating with somebody, so that I can be certain, or reasonably certain, I'm not misunderstood. A get-home bag is a kit that is designed to do one thing: get you home.
Mm-hmm.
It is for when you are out and about in the world and something happens and you need to get from point A to home or another safe location.
Mm-hmm.
A bug out bag is a kit for if you have to leave home, if you are bugging out,
right,
possibly not to return for several days, weeks, maybe months. It is not a kit that is designed to help you go live off the land in the woods. It is not a kit for anything other than to keep you alive until you get to another safe location.
Mm-hmm. I think it's funny when I read your post about that, because I totally get that. But you do hear bug out bag and get home bag interchanged as if it's the same bag.
Exactly.
And I've never thought about the fact that people do that, or that I may have in the past probably done that simply out of just trying to get info out and make someone understand what I'm talking about, that there is at least a need to have something. And yes, in the grand scheme of things, having something is better than nothing, so you can't nitpick too much. But if you are talking about getting home, you have a whole different set of goods in that bag. If you are talking about leaving home, you have a whole different set of goods in that bag.
Exactly.
And so they are completely different items.
They are. And the problem I have with it is it leads to confusion.
Yep.
When you misuse these terms. If you're having a conversation with somebody who is just starting out with prepping, and you start talking about a get-home bag, and in their mind, they keep thinking, no, it's not a get-home bag. It's called a bug-out bag. I've seen that on the message boards. It's a bug-out bag. It's not a get-home bag. And the whole time they're thinking about this, they're not listening to what you're telling them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, We have kids. I mean, how many times you've been talking to your kid and you know the eyes have glazed over because they're centering in on something that you said 5 minutes ago, and their thought process has stopped until they can resolve this conflict in their head.
Yeah. Yeah. And I used to train staff for camp, for wilderness camp and day camp and things like that. Counselors,
okay.
These were talking high school kids. When I would teach them to talk to children, because none of them were parents, they didn't know, we would always say, children will hear your last three words, basically. So don't keep it short. And if you're on the bus, don't say, hey, don't put your hands out the window, because the first thing they hear is put hands out window. Shoot you. You know, they're going to do it. You talk to them in keep your hands in the window. Oh, in the window. Got it.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
You don't tell them not to stand up because, well, standing up is the thing they hear. You tell
right.
them to stay seated. You know, it's not there's certain ways you have to get that information across. So when I read that post, I'm thinking that is something I hadn't really, I guess I had to recall from my years of training staff. That makes a lot of sense to make it very clear and concise when you're trying to share the information of what you're doing, if you're trying to encourage your extended family members to prepare. Don't just start rattling off a whole bunch of acronyms and slang terms and things like that, because they're going to look at you like, oh, okay, I'm glazing over.
Yep.
You know,
absolutely.
you're not helping your cause at all. You're just basically, you're giving them ammo for the men in the white coats, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're not going to pick up on what you're doing if you're not clear and concise with it. So I thought your post was really, I found it an interesting little, it really made me think about it, because I have probably been guilty in the past just for sheer habit of trying to get a point across, mixed the two together as well as mixed in probably some other things. So it really definitely made me think about it. I thought it was really, really interesting take on the two differences, because they are,
yeah.
I do see them differently very much. Just getting that clear to other people, you have to be deliberate about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So real quick, before we end the show, I want to know about the new book that has just been out. What is this one? What is this one focusing on? Countdown to Preparedness.
Okay, Countdown to Preparedness started back in winter of 2011. Okay. Is this the book that took me the longest to write, even though it had the shortest time frame between contract and publication? Here's what happened. In 2011, obviously, all over the news, all over the media, is this dreaded Mayan prophecy of December 2012 and the world is going to end, or, you know, whatever the prediction was. Now, I did not buy in to any of that garbage, but I was just savvy enough to realize I could use that impetus to get people on board with being better prepared. So what I did was I started this feature on survivalweekly.com that I called the Countdown to Preparedness. I started it exactly 52 weeks before the Mayan prophecy of December 21st, 2012. Every week, I would post a reading assignment, I would post a homework assignment, and the idea was if you completed all of the homework, you did all of the reading, you completed all of the projects that I assigned, at the end of 52 weeks, you would be fully prepared to last several months on your own in the event of some sort of calamity. Mm-hmm. Again, I didn't think the world was coming to an end in 2012. If it did, I certainly would not have signed book contracts that extended beyond that. But it was I felt it was a great way to admittedly capitalize on this whole, you know, end of the world stuff.
Yeah.
And the feature became wildly popular. I had every week I had more and more people checking it out, emailing me questions about, you know, this, that, and the other thing, and sharing with me their success stories, and it was just a really cool thing. And towards the end of the 52 weeks, I started receiving more and more and more questions about, is this going to be a book? Will you publish this as a book so we have something we can, you know, step away from the computer and have in our hands?
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I was deep in the throes of writing the complete book to disaster readiness. I had no time to take on yet another book. So I talked to my editor about it, and we decided, you know, we'll do it, but it's not going to be right now. It's going to be a couple of books in the future. And then once we got done with the Prepper's Complete Book to Disaster Readiness, and we finished up the long-term survival guide, we sat down with the Countdown of Preparedness. We basically took everything off the website, edited it, formatted it, changed a whole lot of stuff to bring it up to current, added a whole ton of new information, added in shopping lists every week for groceries that you should buy, added in water storage, added in a savings plan. Every week you're putting aside a little bit of money. And then packaged it up into this book and sent it off out into the world to see what happened. And it just came out a couple of weeks ago. It came out, I think, the first week of June.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't even seen my copies yet from my publisher. I've seen the physical book. I came across it at an event over the weekend, and I was very impressed with it, and I thought it was really cool, but I haven't even received my own copies. But it is out there, and hopefully, you know, it'll do some good.
That's great. That's book number four. And it sounds like it already impacted people, you know, during that, countdown towards the Mayan calendar, which I was thinking, there's absolutely no way that thing can be accurate, but, you know, it did.
Hey, I told everybody, the guy writing that was chiseling that stone, his arms just got tired. That's why it stopped when it did.
He ran out of space. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
There's a finite number of stones you can chisel, so done. And then, you know,
yeah.
I always thought that was kind of a funny, but it did get a lot of people thinking. It, you know, Y2K did it. You remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Y2K got people thinking. The Mayan calendar got people thinking. You know, my husband keeps saying we're due for a nice big bird flu or something to get people thinking again. You know, we need, and that's actually, they're not bad. Unfortunately, they're fearful things that make people think. But if they do, then it's a good thing because obviously we've lasted past the Mayan calendar prediction. Like you said, more books would have never been written and you wouldn't sign the contract for that.
Yeah.
I think that something good, if you've got the countdown to prepare, something good came out of that whole mindset for that year.
Well, that's the hope. We'll see how it goes.
Well, I'm looking forward to getting my hands on a copy of that. I'm sure you are. So we're gonna go ahead and sign off. This has been another great episode of Your Preparation Station, and we're just delighted that you've come on again and shared just some great insight and this time we went really down some different bunny trails. But you know, every time you come out with a new book, I'm going to be excited to have you come on and share a little bit more about, you know, how things are going for you, things you see coming in the future as far as what people need to be preparing for. And, you know, I'm always delighted to be able to tell somebody that you've got a new book coming out. So it seems like we'll be doing these more often in the future.
Well, that's the hope.
Yep, I hope so. Folks, before we sign out, I'm going to leave you with a few websites verbally, and of course on the show page there, we're there for you to click through and link. Be sure to stop by Jim's website, survivalweekly.com. Of course, that one's been around for a good while. It's a staple, and it puts out good, solid content, not regurgitated, not copied, written from someone else. Real unique as far as it's pertinent and timely, something that you need to pay attention to, information. Also, be sure to stop by his consultant website, which is disasterprepconsultants.com. And if you have the need and means by which to get him to come to your place and do a consultant, you know, job for you, I would highly suggest that you do so. He's somebody that I would trust to come find out where we have our stuff stashed and how we're doing, and give his insight. So maybe you can take a trip to North Carolina, Jim, and tell me what you think here.
Yeah, you buy the ticket, I'm there.
It is a little bit of a trip. Yeah, we're in two different necks of two different woods, but it's a little bit of a trip for you. It's not in that free drive range for you.
Exactly.
But please go by Amazon or click the links below and check out all of Jim's books. So we're delighted to have you again, and we'll look forward again in the future.
Sounds awesome. I love your show. I always have a lot of fun talking to you.
Well, we will speak with you again real soon.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Jim. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
This has been another episode of Your Preparation Station. This is Donna Miller signing off, telling you God bless and keep a positive attitude while you prep. All right, bye-bye.
This has been another episode of Your Preparation Station with Donna Miller. We would love to hear from you. Please connect with us at yourpreparationstation.com and on Facebook. Tune in again next time for another encouraging episode. Until then, keep growing and finding joy in the journey.